All right, it's time to get started. Let's everybody find our seat if we can. And maybe we'll have some more to come in here directly. Usually the outside aisles are a little empty, but boy, tonight it's the middle aisles a little shy. So, John, you and Brother Joe and Miss Bobby are going to have to hold that thing down the middle. All right. Well, we're glad you're here tonight on a warm but beautiful Wednesday evening. Let's all get a hymn book and stand together as Brother Tim comes to lead us in a song.
All right, 488, a new name in glory. Everybody knows this. Let's sing out tonight. 488. All right, I think everybody knows the first verse. You can keep turning while we find it. Here we go. I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written out in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written out in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down, there's a new name. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing. A few more come in. Really, the crowd looks pretty good, except for right dead in the center here. But that's all right. We're glad you're here tonight. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the service and pray together. Father, what a joy it is to be back in the house of the Lord tonight on Wednesday night. It's been a beautiful day. It's been warm, but not real muggy and hot like it has been. And so we've enjoyed the day. Thank you so much for it. But Lord, it's good to be back in the house of God tonight to worship the Lord. And Father, as I read earlier today, preacher said that a lot of times folks will say that we don't have worship, we have preaching. Well, we're here to worship, and we hope the preaching and the singing will bring about the mode of worship, because Lord, we're here. This is God's house, and so we want to worship You tonight in spirit and in truth. Thank You for everybody that's here tonight. So good to have them here. Appreciate them making the effort to be faithful to come. And Lord, for those that might be sick, or those I know tomorrow, Sister Dodd will be having surgery, and so I know she's prepping for that. And so we pray for her and that others. Lord, good to have Brother Sonny back with us. He's been out. He's been facing some surgery himself, but he's feeling good enough to be here tonight. We're so glad to have him back here with us. And so, Lord, we ask You to bless the remainder of the service for Thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. And we really don't have any announcements. This week is pretty dry because of the Jubilee. We're just kind of taking a break and letting everybody rest. So just mention a couple of prayer requests. I just mentioned Sister Dot. England will be having surgery tomorrow. She goes in at 9. We're not sure what time the surgery will be. Probably sometime between there and 12. Some heart surgery at Richland Heart. And so let's remember her in prayer if we can. And then Brother Sonny goes in next week on the 13th. So that's next Wednesday. Next Wednesday he'll be going in for surgery on his neck. So you pray for him. But I'm glad he's able to be here. We miss when he and Judy both are not here. But I miss Sonny's good smile. I tell you, I like that smile. And I appreciate him being able to be here. Felt good enough to come. And, of course, you know about Brother Steve. Miss Ramona is recovering. She's doing good. Good to see her here on Wednesday night. And so she had a fall and kind of hurt her hip. Now, tomorrow night, and I know many of you would not know her unless you saw her face, but one of the we're having a memorial service at the Waterford tomorrow. They called and asked if I would do that. This is our regular monthly service at the Waterford. But one of the ladies passed away, Miss Thomason, and she was one of the ladies that was very faithful to come to our services when we were there for those years, and then she always would come to the Thursday night services as well. And so she passed away kind of suddenly. And so we're going to have a memorial service tomorrow night. And if you're not busy, if you don't have anything going on, it'd be nice if you could just come and sit in the service. It's a little different than what we normally do. But they called and asked me if I would do it. And it's for the folks at the Waterford. When she passed away, they had the service in Great Falls, I guess where she was from. And it was a private service, so no, we couldn't go. And so I think what they're hoping to do is have something for the folks at the Waterford who knew her. She was there for many years. And so anyway, if you think about it, you'd want to slip by over there and just kind of sit in, that'd be fine. We'd appreciate that. But if you can't, we certainly understand that too. That'll be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Then Saturday at 10, we'll be going out knocking on doors, our sewing Saturday. So men, help us out there. Weather permitting, we'll be out knocking on doors again. No, I'm sorry, it's a week from Saturday. I'm sorry, see? See, Brian, you make me do the announcements. I hadn't done them so long, I don't have the date straight. It's a week from Saturday. I apologize for that. And he told me, oh, you can handle it. No, I can't. That's right. It's a week from Saturday. All right. So, and then, of course, service is on Sunday. We are having church Sunday, aren't we, Brian? It is this Sunday, right? Okay, just checking. Just want to make sure. And so try to come for Sunday. We were 6 shy of 100 Sunday morning. We had 94. And, man, I was just hoping some family would I mean, if they came in during the invitation, I'd have counted them, praise God. But anyway, let's get out there and get busy. The tracks are back there. Be sure and get the tracks out. We reached the goal for May. We surpassed the goal for May, so we're back on track, kind of sort of. You know, we're trying to make up for January. So during the month of June, we need to make up. And I'm not even sure how many. We'll try to find out by Sunday. Shelton, let us know he's working tonight. But anyway, we need to do a little bit more than 1,000 each month, or if we can do it here in the month of June, then we can certainly catch up. But right now, be sure and get the tracks there. We have plenty of them back there, so be sure and get them. We brought them. If you'll notice, we moved the table in here because more people seem to. A lot of folks don't go through the vestibule that much. We are, in fact, going to start We're going to start asking during the summer months for folks to. For one thing, that door's getting wore out, and we don't want all that to get. Oh, thank you. Has that got money in it? What did I say? Oh, Anchor. I thought I said Andrew. I said, I'm not Andrew. What have we got here? It is a thank you. All right. Dear Anchor, thank you so much for the love gift you gave me for my birth. I should have known who's writing that. Well, that's my gracious. Sorry about that. Also for the gift at the Jubilee. I love you all, Sister Judy. So that's from Miss Judy. And appreciate all you did for her and for the Jubilee and for the her birthday. Okay, now, where was I at? Door, yeah. Anyway, at some point we may put a little sign out there just for a while, just to have people kind of go through the vestibule. We're actually going to do something in the vestibule a little different. And someone gave a very large gift to help us to do this thing. And what it is, when we were in Michigan last year, they did it there. And the man that actually does it is in the church there in Chelsea. Anyway, it is a digital mission board. And what it is it's a large screen TV that's fixed so that you can touch it and not mess up the screen. And it will have all the mission information on it where an adult or even a child can interact with the missions by simply touching the screen. and it's going to be fixed up real nice. And the brother that's going to Alabama first, so it'll probably be sometime maybe in July or later part of July, maybe first of August, unless he can schedule it sooner. But anyway, so that's one reason the table's in here, because we're going to start having people come through the vestibule. We have a nice vestibule that nobody ever walks through. So, and believe it or not, that is the front door. You know, I tell people the front door and they go straight over there. But of course that's fine. We just want to be able, when we do that, to have folks to be able to see what it's all about and use it and interact with it and so on. So anyway, just kind of let you know, but the tracks are right here and all the information is right there. You get that before you go tonight. Let's get some tracks out this week. Okay. All right. I think that's everything, right? Okay. Come on. Oh yeah. Somebody had that. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Family court tomorrow with Chloe at 2:00. All right, so let's remember that. Is that what you're going to say, Dante? Okay, you had your hand up. Yes, ma'am. 26th of June, that is a Tuesday. Is that Tuesday, like the normal day? Tuesday the 26th, so the Rusty Anchors are going to get back with the program. They're going to get some of the rust off and start meeting again. All right, so that's good. Good. I was kind of hoping that with the summer coming up like that, so that's great. And I know, of course, Miss Susan had some health issues, and now with Sonny's situation, Miss Judy's not able to devote a lot of time. But hopefully after the surgery and he recovers, boy, they'll just be, Sonny be running laps around the neighborhood down there. And but we're glad that you're going to be meeting. So mark that down, the 26th, okay? Be sure and do that at 10 o'clock here, okay? All right, anything else? I don't want to miss anything. Brian has hung me out here to dry tonight. All right, come on, Brother Tim. Let's have another song then.
All right, 485 this time. 485. This is the song the men sang at the Jubilee, but we're going to share it with y'all. This world is not my home. 485. Sing out now. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
All right, let's have a little time of fellowship.
All right, thank you so much. If you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service while everybody's getting their last hugs. And all right, a couple other things I'll mention while you're finding your seat. Gail's going to have a procedure. What did you say it was? When? The 19th. So next week is what? That'd be what, next Thursday? 2 weeks. And so pray for her. And then good to have Naomi and Mary, sisters. They're here to stay with Edwin and Marilyn. Their mother, BJ, graduated from college, and she's going down to, is it Florida? Florida for a week. And so they've come to stay with Grandma and what do they call you? Papa and AU. You know, Grandma. And then Naomi, how long are you going to be here? Yes. She came up to me. She said, I'm going to be with Grandma and Grandpa 40 days. I said, well, okay, hey. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. I guess she can stay with her grandparents 40 days. That's all right. But anyway, we're glad to have them here. And the Mary, the newest one, and BJ will be headed back next week when she comes back in. So we're glad to have them here with us tonight, okay? All right, let's have the ushers come on. We'll take care of the offering this evening. And we have, just for your knowledge, in case we ever do, and we'll have it back. After the service, by the way, I need to meet with the deacons a few minutes just to run over the statement. It won't take just about 5 minutes. That way I have it ready for Sunday. But we have Miss Bobby Alexander's daughter-in-law works for a doctor here in town. And they gave us a really nice wheelchair to keep here at the church. We don't have one. And they want to know. And so she was going to try to come to the Jubilee Saturday, but she got not feeling well, and so she couldn't come. So I went over to the Lexington Cardiology over there at the Summit, picked it up. They were very kind and said they had, you know, they wanted us to have it. So it's in the trunk of my car. It's not doing any good right now. I got to bring it in later. But anyway, it'll be here for anybody's use. So I just wanted to kind of let you know, in case we ever do need one, we'll have it in here for somebody to use. Okay. All right, Brother Joaquin, pray for the offering, please.
Amen.
Anybody have any guesses who the special music is? All right. Come on, Joaquin. Joaquin's going to sing for us before Pastor comes tonight.
Guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that flowed my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I shall with while eternity runs. He touched me, oh, he touched me. and all the joy that flows my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me and made me whole.
All right. Thank you, Joaquin. Always enjoy that. I know it comes from his heart. So thank you, Joaquin, for that. Well, get your Bibles. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, brother. There, got a new bass player back there. He did a good job, and I appreciate that. Matthew chapter 26 tonight, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26. And I'm going to also use, I'm not going to ask you to turn there until it's necessary, the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of John. The same story, but with some different elements to it as I go through the message tonight. Matthew 26, page 1036. And Miss Deanna, where you at? I've got your Bible ordered. It'll be here by the weekend, okay? So just don't, she wanted to, I was hoping I could get it today, by today, but wasn't able to because it was on a little bit of a back order, but we'll have it by the weekend. All right, Matthew chapter 26. We're going to begin reading in verse number 6. Let's stand together, please, if you can, if you're able to. In reverence to the Word of God, we'll read a few verses and then give you the message tonight. Matthew 26, verse number 6, the Bible said, "Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box." So immediately you're going to recognize the story. "An alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Ye have the poor always with you. Me ye have not always. And that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her.'" Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the great privilege of being back in the house of God, and I count it not only a joy and an honor, but also a great responsibility. Once again, have the opportunity to break the bread of life for those in the audience tonight. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak through my mouth. God, don't let me say anything that would bring reproach upon the name of the Lord. But Lord, also don't let me, not good English here, but don't let me not say anything that needs to be heard. So, Father, I pray that this message tonight will be both an encouragement and a thought-provoking message for all of us. We love you and we thank you for all you do. Bless those who are not able to be here tonight. Still have Brother John still in Chicago traveling. And, of course, we've got some facing surgeries. And so, Lord, you know, but I appreciate the good crowd that's here tonight for the service. Bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And now, again, in Matthew 26, we find the same story in Mark chapter 14 and in John chapter 12. There's a brief 1.5 verse mentioned in Luke that we, you know, but I'm not going to go there because there's nothing there that will help me with the message tonight, although it is there. But as we see Jesus in this part of Matthew, we know it's towards the end. And so we know then that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to be crucified. He has set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. He's already dealt with Peter on two different occasions and the other disciples about how that they didn't want him to die, but yet they really didn't understand, even at this point in their journey, they're not exactly sure what's going on in this story in the house of Simon the leper. And so, again, this is a familiar story. Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So it was very close. Jesus, if you read the Gospels, you'll find that he spent more time and made more visits to Bethany than any other town in Galilee, in Israel. More than Jerusalem, more than Nazareth, more than Bethlehem. He visited at least 6 times that we're aware of in the city of Bethany. And remember that Bethany is where Lazarus and Mary and Martha lived. Bethany was, as we will find later in one of the other Gospels, they're meeting in the house of Simon the leper. Now, who is Simon the leper? He's not a leper now, or they wouldn't be there. In Matthew chapter 8, the Bible talks about a leper who approached the Lord and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." And he was healed. Well, that's Simon the leper. And so in this story, at this point, he is not leprous anymore. He's clean. And so there was no problem with Jesus and all the folks that were there. In fact, Lazarus and Mary and Martha, obviously, they were some type of neighbor. They lived in the same town, say it that way. And so they're also at this dinner that they're having, a supper that they're having. Jesus is the guest of honor, and there are other people there. In the text, though, we find that Jesus is, in fact, in the house of Simon the leper, along with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. So I got to thinking about those four individuals. And think about those four people represent ministries of the local church. Now you think about it. Now the local church has not been established in the New Testament yet, not until the book of Acts chapter 2. But it certainly is in the works. But Jesus is dealing with these. But think about this for a minute. Now think about Simon the leper. He's a man who had that awful, wicked disease that and leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. And he was healed of that leprosy. I think that's pretty obvious. That Simon the leper is a type of the church who is made whole by Jesus Christ. How many of you folks here are saved tonight? Say amen. You are just like Simon the leper was. When you came to Jesus, you said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me saved." And he did, didn't he? No one has ever been turned down when they asked Jesus to save them. They were never put off. They were never put in the back of the line. You didn't have to get one of them little beeper things like you get at a restaurant when it's real crowded. And that thing go off sometime when God was ready for you. No, if you'll come to Christ, he's ready to save you right now. And Simon the leper came, and it's a very remote story in the Bible. There's only about three or four verses in Matthew 8 that even talk about, and they don't even name him in Matthew chapter 8, but we know that's who this is. And the Bible says that he heard Jesus was coming, like a lot of folks do, and he sought him out, went to the Lord. They tried to push him away because he was leprous, and yet he cried out and said, "Lord, if you want to, you can make me whole again." And Jesus did just that. And so now here it is, several chapters later, don't have any idea how many days or months, but here it is later, that now Jesus is actually eating at his house. And so not only does it speak in Simon the leper's case about the being made whole, the salvation of our Lord, but also fellowship. When you get saved, you have a new fellowship with Christ that you didn't have before. You have a prayer life that you may have thought you had, but you didn't really have until you got saved. You didn't have fellowship with other believers like you did when you were lost. And now that you're saved, you have that good fellowship and relationship with other believers, even if they're strangers. You can still have fellowship because they're still family. And spirits, and our spirit bears witness with their spirit that we are the children of God. So Simon the leper is a type of the church being made whole in Christ. Then you think about Lazarus. We all know about Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. So, of course, Lazarus, in him we find in the church a picture of being made alive. You know, you've heard me say this before. I know that a church, that God does not register the spirituality of the church by how much they shout. Just because you shout doesn't make you spiritual. Amen? Just like when you go home and walk through your garage, doesn't make you a car. Right? I mean, now listen, I'm all for shouting. Don't misunderstand. I like it. It doesn't bother me a bit. But our spirituality is not predicated on how loud we shout. But if we ever have the Lord Jesus come into our lives and really get, like Sunday morning, boy, we had a little visit from the Holy Ghost, didn't we? And man, folks, was a shout. And by the way, that's when it's real, when he starts it. See, it's not us running around trying to get him to join in, because then you've got an hour of wasted time. But when he just kind of moves in and all of a sudden people get a little excited, Martha back there shouting, carrying all that red hat on, and scared that whole back row to death back there, man. Hey, listen, but you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But folks that don't have the Lord don't have that kind of shout in them. And so here's Lazarus, who, by the way, when he was dead, heard the Lord shout, didn't he? What the Bible say when he got to Lazarus' grave? He yelled, he said, Lazarus, he cried. Lazarus. Now remember, had he not said Lazarus, the whole cemetery would have got up. If he just said, come forth, why, who knows, maybe every dead person in the world would have got up. Who knows? But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And you know that he did. And so here's Lazarus, who is the church witnessing. Remember, Simon the leper is the church made whole. Now, Lazarus is the church witnessing. Because guess who's at the table with Jesus at this dinner? Lazarus is. This is after he was resurrected. Now, I'm telling you right now, if I'm dead and somebody was able to resurrect me from the dead, I'd spend all the time I could with them. Amen? I'm telling you. I would, they say, well, you should not, listen, if they rose me from the dead, I wouldn't knock on the door, I'd just go in. You know, I mean, I just want to be around that person all the time. And you know, Lazarus was so glad, so grateful for what the Lord, I mean, imagine what happened. He was dead. He was dead almost a week. And Jesus raised him from the dead. And so that's a picture of the church witnessing to the new life. New life in Christ. Amen. I was singing that little chorus, Brother Tim, today. New life in Christ, glory, abundant and free. I don't remember all the words. I was just kind of making up my own words, you know. But anyway, because I'm grateful that I have a new life in Jesus Christ. Then there's Martha. We all know about Martha. That's a picture of the church working for Christ. You know, Martha got a little sideways, got a little off track, you know, about Mary out there. So I'm in here washing the dishes and cooking the meal and taking care of everything. She's out there listening to the preaching. And she said, I don't think that's right. But of course, I believe God blessed her for what she did. And the fact that she worked while the Lord. And now, in this situation, she's not cooking. She's not setting the table. This is not even her house. She's a guest at the house of Simon the leper. And so Martha is a picture of the church working for Christ. And then, of course, Mary. And that's who broke the box. That's who's been memorialized. But think about it. The Bible says that Mary has been memorialized. And I'll get to that in a little while, of course, because Jesus said wherever the story is told, she's going to be remembered. But you know, every time the story is told, guess who else is mentioned? Lazarus and Martha. And so somebody said, you know, preacher, if I do or don't do anything for Christ, it's not going to affect anybody else. It does. Because of what Mary did, Martha and Lazarus had the great privilege of being included in this memorial. It doesn't say, now we're going to remember Mary, but then her brother and sister. It doesn't say that. Nowhere are they even referred to. We know they're brother and sister, but it doesn't use those phrases. Their names are given. And so I'm telling you, when we serve the Lord, when we work for the Lord, now listen, she's got an eternal memorial. I mean, think about it. For over 2,000 years, people have been telling her story in every language that the Bible has been translated into for all those years. Billions and billions and billions of people have heard of Mary. But because she was busy for the Lord, and when I say busy, I mean willing to worship. That's what she did. Mary is the type of the church worshiping the Lord. Boy, she broke that box. She wiped his feet with her hair. She worshiped the Lord. She's remembered. Oh, you'll be more remembered for how you love and worship God than you ever will how you sang or how you taught. You mark it down. Brother Ed Coker's dad, Mr. Coker, I never had the opportunity to meet him. He passed away before we came to Columbia. Met his mother, she lived a few years after I came. What year did your mother pass away, Brother Ed? Do you remember? 2006 or 7, maybe something like that. We came in 2003. But Brother Ed Coker's dad taught the men's Sunday school class over at Alpine for 40 years, I guess, maybe longer. They've got his name on the side. You know, and listen, if you talk to anybody who knew Ed, it was Edwin, right? Edwin Coker. If you talk to anybody, and Ralph, Steve, maybe some others here, remember him. Here's how they always introduce or talk. When they mention his name, they always say he taught the men's Sunday school class. I mean, 35 years and taught longer. So So, you know, that's how he's got his name on a plaque at the on the door. He's got his name on a plaque on the sign. But do you know why people remember Edwin Coker? As the teacher, the faithful teacher of the men's Sunday school class. I'm telling you, what you do for the Lord is going to be more remembered than on a plaque. Or even by word of mouth. Just trust me, God's keeping a record. Amen? And even though he mentions Mary here as the memorialized individual, think about the other folks that have also been memorialized in the same story. One of them was a leper named Lazarus. Simon, rather, the leper. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting as I was putting this together. Now, that's not where I'm going here, but I just wanted to give you that. Because listen, folks, everything we do is important for the cause of Christ. And it needs to be done with vim and vigor. It needs to be done with excitement. It needs to be done with faithfulness. And it needs to be done with encouragement and exhortation. So, but notice what, here's what I want to look at for just a moment, and we'll move ahead here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10, now that she has broken the box of ointment and she has done the deed, and then, of course, Judas is the one who talks the other disciples into speaking out. And we're going to look at that in another place in the Gospels in a moment. But it was Judas. Judas was the keeper of the bag. He was the treasurer among the disciples. But notice what it says, verse 8. But when his disciples, not one, looks like all of them, or at least more than one. When the disciples saw it, notice, they said, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose? And can you imagine his disciples saying this to Jesus? What purpose is this waste? Can you imagine telling the Lord that anything anybody ever did for him was a waste? Boy, that rung my bell right there. When you give out one track, do you know what somebody will say? Well, you only gave out one. That's not much. You know what they're saying? What a waste. What if that person gets saved? Do you think the Lord says it's a waste? Do you think the Lord would ever say to you, hey, you gave out that track today, but I just want you to know I saw it, but really, I just think you wasted your time. He would never say that, would he? Stay with me now, folks. Some of you look like you're scared to death. I'm just saying, whatever you do for the Lord, if you're doing it for the Lord, why did Mary do what she did? It was for the Lord. It wasn't for herself. It wasn't for Martha. It wasn't for Lazarus. She was doing it for the Lord. And so we find here now, though, it says, they said, what's this waste? Because this ointment could have been sold for much and given to the poor. But notice, when Jesus understood it, he said, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought or done a good work. A good work. And I want to just give you some thoughts tonight, quickly in the time we have, on Jesus commending a good work. You see, if we want Jesus to be proud of us, he's not going to be proud of us for bad works. He's not going to commend us. I was thinking as I was writing this down, I thought about the military guys. When you get a commendation, isn't that something like a piece of paper or something, or a medal or something that says, hey, they did something above and beyond. And so we want them to have this commendation. We want everybody to know that we, talking about those in authority, the commanding officers, appreciate and want to recognize something that was done good. Now, they don't commend the soldiers for going AWOL. It's not a good work. Well, seems like they do these days. That Bergdahl feller, I'm telling you, but anyway, I don't want to get into all that. But the point is that the idea of a commendation being commended is for something good. We live in a society where we award people who are not winning. I don't want to say losers because I don't mean it that way, so I didn't want to say the word. But what I'm saying is that, you know, now there's no real desire to succeed, because even if you don't, you get a trophy. And that's really unnatural, folks. It may sound, you know, Shangri-La, but I'm telling you, the only way you're going to know to want to succeed is by, and guess what? Everyone in this room has failed at some point in your life. And if failure is rewarded, then we'll never want to do any better than the last failure we had. And that's just not the way it's supposed to be. And by the way, Christians can be that way too. We fall, we fail, we falter. And instead of getting up, moving on, You know, we just say, well, you know, hey, I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. So if I fail, well, no big deal. It is a big deal. It surely is. And so what we have here, though, is a good. He said, don't. Why are you insulting her for this good work? You know what they say, don't you? A good deed never goes unpunished. That's what the world says. And you know, a lot of times, it seems like that's right. I mean, you know, I told you before, it hadn't happened a long time, but some time back, I was at a restaurant or at a gas station, a convenience store gas station. And I held the door for a lady and she said, I don't need you to do that. I can get that myself. Yes, ma'am. I wish I could meet her again. I'd have her hold the door for me then. I'd be all right. I appreciate it. You know, and that may sound like silly, but that's the society we live in where good deeds are impugned. Bad, and the Bible says in the last days that men would call evil good and good evil. And that we're there. And so in the church, in the body of Christ, that should never be brought out. It ought to always be, hey, you fell, but we're with you. We want to pick you up. You may have to suffer the consequence, but we're for you. And we're going to help you on the way. Because we have been there. Nobody in this room has not been a failure somewhere in their life. Failure is not final. It's just not. And so I want to look just for a moment at that thought. What is a good work? I wrote down that a good work is anything that you do in love for Jesus Christ. I think that's a good work. Now, you can do a good work by giving money to a charity. You could do good work by, you know, helping the neighborhood clean up or, you know, just you name all, you think whatever you want to. Those are good works. I'm talking about a good work. I'm talking about something that Jesus really sort of puts in a category by itself. He didn't say she's doing good works. She said, don't fuss at her for this good work, because it was directed at Jesus. So let me give you these quickly. Number one, a good work for Christ will be costly. Now, we all know that she had this alabaster box of ointment. It was the ointment that is normally used to anoint a dead body. It's almost like embalming. And we know that the Bible says in one of the Gospels that the box cost 300 pence. Now, in Bible times, that was 1 year's wages. She took that box and broke that box upon the broke it open and poured it on the Lord. And if you'll notice, when she did it, she poured the whole box. She didn't take out a little and then carry it home with her. She didn't give him half and keep half. She believed that he was worth a whole box. Isn't that great? Hey, isn't Jesus worth your whole life? Isn't he worth more than just part of your life? Isn't he worth more than just part of your faithfulness, part of your vocabulary, part of your personality? Isn't he worth all of it? Sure he is. He gave his all for us. She gave her all in the pouring of that ointment. And then, of course, the price, that year's salary. Now, in Bible times, they had what was called a dowry, where girls, in later times, in more modern times, it was like a hope chest. But the dowry, it, a lot of times, included money, inheritance, things that the girl would save up for. And so, you know, she has saved a year's wage. Now, we don't know Mary's age. But I'd say she's probably, if she wasn't quite there, she's getting close to that time where girls start looking for young men to hitch up with, you know. And here she is now. She has sacrificed what could have been her legacy to being a wife and a mother, because it actually was a drawing card, believe it or not. It was a drawing card for suitors. For someone to say, you know, not just, hey, I think she's pretty, I might want to go out with her. But then you find out, oh, yeah, by the way, she's got, you know, $300 saved up. She got money. She's got some stuff. So not only will I get her, but I get her stuff. Huh? You know, in today's society, they call that Neanderthal. And, you know, because when I met Judy, listen, they didn't have much stuff and I didn't have much stuff. So we put both of our little bit of stuff together. And we got double little stuff. Amen. That's right. But that was not an issue. I didn't go up to her and say, now, how much you got in the bank? Should have, but I didn't. No, I wouldn't have done that. She, you know, she thought I had some too. She found out I didn't have any either. So we just said, well, we're both broke as Job's turkey. We're about to just get married and see what happens. And bless God, it's been 32 wonderful, 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 wonderful years. Actually, it'll be 33 in October. Some of you are looking like, oh, you missed it. No, I didn't just hit it. Hang on there. So a good work for Christ could be costly. It may cost, you may have to sacrifice something. I'm telling you, you think about what he sacrificed for us. Amen? Think about what he gave up for us when he came to us, he knew we didn't have anything. He already knew it. And for you, and you couldn't, when Jesus approached you about your soul, you could say, well, Lord, I just want you to know what I got. He already knows we didn't have anything. And he came to us anyway. Thank God for that. So that good work, stay with me now, folks. Look at number two. Turn to John chapter 12. Turn to John's account. I want you to see something here in the Gospel of John, chapter 12. So we see that a good work for Christ will be costly. But now look at John chapter 12 and verse number 3. John chapter 12 and verse number 3. Notice that a good work for Christ will be conspicuous. Now, we do not work for the Lord to be recognized. If that's your motive for doing it, then it's a wrong motive. But if you're doing something for Christ because you love Him, somebody's going to know about it. It's going to be noticed. Now, it may not be noticed to the point that you get a parade or a plaque, but it'll be noticed when somebody says that person, whoever, is different. I want to commend you because Sunday we had several visitors. Every one of them took my hand and said, this is the friendliest church I've ever been in. Every one of them. I commend you for that. But just remember, if that's all you want, that's all you're going to get. And I hope you're not doing it so that somehow you will be singled out as somebody to follow. We do it for the Lord, don't we? This church belongs to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. So we want folks to know that the church is friendly because our God's a friendly God. But notice what it says in verse number 3 of John chapter 12. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. In other words, when you're doing something good for God, people don't even have to see it. They can smell it. And I'm not trying to be, you know, when Judy's cooking a good meal, listen, I start telling her how good it is before I even eat it. Because it smells good. Amen. I'll be upstairs in my office and I'll say, man, what smells good down there? And then she'll tell me what it is and that just gets me to, you know, to wanting it. Praise God. Yeah. You know that's right. Well, there were people in the house. There were guests. The disciples were there, so there was at least 12. Jesus was there. That's 13. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that's 16. Simon the leper was there. Doesn't even mention a wife or any of his own children. But we'll just say him. All right, so that's what, 17, 18, I think, something like that. And who knows how many people were hanging around the door because they've been following Jesus all over. And so there's no question that those right in that circle saw what was going on. But you know, like most things, you know, like old Zacchaeus, he might have been in the back going, what's going on? What's happening? I can't see. What's happening? And then all of a sudden, what good's good? Oh, what's that? Boy, that smells good. What is that? Somebody said, Mary just broke spikenard. Lord, and his anointing spot. Boy, I would have loved to have seen it. That was pretty good. My first job was in a bakery. 13 years old. What a job. Hallelujah. What a job. Didn't have any idea I wasn't getting paid anything. I literally was making 50 cents an hour. I was scraping cake pans and, you know, man, about the time I got there in the afternoon after school, they were baking. I'd back there scraping them old cake pans and bread pans going, I mean, I'm telling you what's the truth. For a little fuzzy 13-year-old man, that was like a dream job. I'm telling you. And you know what? The stuff they made was as good as it smelled. I don't know too many things that I've ever had that smelled good that didn't taste good. But I don't know too many things that didn't smell good that didn't taste good either. Amen? And so here, these folks, listen, I'm talking about being conspicuous. Doing something for God will be noticed, first of all, by the Lord, and second of all, by others who may need to know what you're doing. Because that good work for God, it's not done for the purpose of getting noticed, but it needs to be. When you hand out a tract, what are you doing? You're handing it to somebody. You are exhibiting courage. You're exhibiting desire. You're exhibiting the want of getting the gospel out. And they may say, I don't want it. Or they may take it and throw it on the ground. Take it in a restaurant, leave it on the table. Or take it in the restroom, leave it in the bathroom. I mean, who knows what may happen from that. But somebody else will pick up on that. And they may never know that you did it. But they're going to look at that track and maybe say, man, this is what I've been looking for. I'm glad that somebody, I'm sure glad, I don't know where this came from, but I'm sure glad I found it. And you may never be noticed, but God has just written down who left that track. You mark her down, buddy. You sure mark her down. Then sometimes that conspicuous work needs to be, as I said, with uninhibited. Uninhibited. Meaning that, man, just do it. When you come to church, worship. Don't come to church, sit like a knot on a log. Worship. That does not mean that I got to shout. No, you can worship with a, you know what? You can worship with a smile. Here you can. You can worship with your heart focused upon God, focused on the Word of God. Not me personally, but what I'm trying to tell you. That's how we're fueling the worship. When Brother Tim leads a song, man, you may not could carry a tune in an old bucket, but sing as loud as you can. And somebody, but I don't want people looking at me. Let them look at you. Who cares? God doesn't care. He just wants worship. He just wants worship. Then notice number three. And this one, you ready? This is the tough one. This is one of those things when preachers and pastors say, Lord, can I skip this one? That is, a good work for Christ will be criticized. Remember what I said? No good deed goes unpunished. And it said, here is Jesus, the Son of God, his disciple, inner circle, at the home of Simon the leper, who is now healed, with Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, and his two sisters. And who knows who else? Maybe that demoniac from Gadara was in the audience. I don't know. I'm saying, so I won't say that. But he could have been. Zacchaeus could have been in the audience. Who knows? The young man, the widow of Nain, whose son Jesus raised, maybe he was there. I don't know. Doesn't say. These folks were there. And this young lady, an act of total love for God and a good work, because Jesus called it a good work, breaks open this box, anoints his body, knowing more than the disciples that he was going to die. She got it, and they didn't. And then, of course, after all of that, here comes Judas. And if you read John's account, or Mark's account, it's Judas is the one who speaks up. Of course, who else is going to speak up and criticize the good work of God than the devil? And you know what he did? He convinced the other disciples to join him. Listen to me, folks. Listen, I'm telling you. You better decide right now that you're going to love God and serve God and do a good work for God, no matter what anybody says. And don't be afraid of anybody who's trying to cut you down or criticize you or tell you that it's just a popularity contest. You're just doing it to get noticed. Don't you listen to that crowd. Because somehow, can you believe Peter walked on the water? And now he's calling what she did for Jesus a waste. And Judas was the devil. So guess what? If you're going to get in a place where you want to be critical of good work, be careful, you got the devil in you. That's Bible. That's Bible. Don't criticize a good work. It may not be what you did. And most of the time people are critical because they're not doing any good work. The devil doesn't do good work. What good work has he ever done? And by the way, you know what they said, don't you? Why didn't we sell this ointment and give it to the poor? What they're doing is trying to deflect the worship of the Lord to somebody else. See, now churches today don't preach the gospel. They have social gospel. And they want to help the poor. Jesus said, oh, by the way, the poor you're always going to have with you. So you're going to have me with you always. This is not a club. It's not a social service. This is eternity dealing with you. And I want you to get that, folks. Listen, don't let criticism keep you from doing something good for God. Question, why? If you go back, and don't turn there for time's sake, because we've got to hurry, I've got to close. In verse 5 in Matthew 26, they said, why? You ever tell your kids something, they say, why? 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 Finally, you just get, because I said so. And they walk off going, why? But they'll, you know, you've done seven straight. Well, isn't it amazing how adult Christians do the same thing? Say, why? Why? Why not? Amen. Come on. We started this church and there were people, preachers in the area that said, why are you doing that? Why? Well, because the Lord told us to. They asked, they questioned the way. She was using it to anoint and worship the Lord, and they said it could have been sold. Isn't that the problem with the church today? Too many Christians are selling out their service for God, something that is not going to last. Then in verse 12, of course, it says this could have been given to the poor. That's the who. Satan and his crowd always want what is meant for Jesus to be given to someone else. Usually them. You know what Satan always wanted? The glory. That's why God kicked him out of heaven in Isaiah. But he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to sit on the mountain of God. He wanted the glory. And guess what he still does? Well, he can't get it, but here's what he does. He gets into the heart and minds of God's own people and causes division and derision. And all of a sudden, people are now wanting something for themselves that totally belongs to Christ. Totally belongs to Jesus Christ. Well, let me give you the last one and I'm done. Turn to Mark 14. Mark chapter 14. Folks, I'm just trying to encourage you to do a good work. Anything you do for the Lord, no matter what anybody says, if Jesus called, by the way, you'll notice in the scripture here, nobody else called it a good work, but Jesus did. I'd say that's the one you want to have call it a good work. When you stand before the Lord, guess who's going to judge your works? The Lord is. And I want to have more good ones than bad ones, don't you? Sure. Mark chapter 14, we'll close right here. Mark chapter 14 and verse number 6. Look what the Bible said here again is Mark's account of this very story. The Bible says, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. And then, for ye have the poor with you always, and whosoever you will may do them good. And whosoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. A good work for Christ will always be commended. And who's doing the commending? Edwin, in this military, if you get a commendation, who gives it to you? You don't give it to yourself, right? Who gives it to you? Someone in authority over you, right? A commanding officer. That's right. Well, and if you should happen, if you're at Fort Jackson, for example, if you got a commendation from the commanding general, I mean, that's as high as you can go at Fort Jackson, right? So that'd be you'd feel pretty comfortable that a commendation was meant, that somebody's not just making it up. Right? So when you do a good work for Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ Himself commends a good work, is there anybody higher to get a commendation on? There you go. It doesn't matter if man commends you or not. We're all just foot soldiers in this thing. But when the Lord Himself, the captain of our salvation, and the God of this universe commends your good work, who, first of all, could go above Him? And who could take it away from you? That's right. Nobody. Nobody. Jesus defended her. They jumped on her. And He defended her. Can you believe that? How would you like to have the devil and you facing the devil and Jesus step in between and say, you leave him or her alone. They're mine. Boy, that's good defense. Amen. I'd say that's pretty good defense. Yes, sir. If Jesus accepts what you do, then don't you worry what anybody else thinks about it. If Jesus likes it. Now, if He doesn't like it, you better worry. That's right. If He's not for it, then you better worry. Jesus not only defended her, but He commended her. She did all she could. She did all she could. You know what? Let me leave you with this, folks. Don't focus on what you can't do. Focus on what you can do. Martha was the cook. Now, I'm not saying that Mary couldn't cook, but Martha seemed to be the cook in the family. Lazarus seemed to be the miracle receiver of the family. There's old Mary. She's just the worshiper in the family. She didn't care about all that other stuff. She didn't care a thing. All she cared about was being at the feet of Jesus. And for the rest of eternity, because this word will never pass away. Did you believe a billion years from now when we're in heaven, we're going to know her by this story right here. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And all because she did a good work. Doesn't have to be a prolific work. Doesn't have to be a work that anybody could have done what she did. If they'd have been led to and would have obeyed, anybody could have done that. There's things that all of us can do here. It's not just for the pastor or the deacons or the teachers or who. Everybody here has a work we can do. And if it's for the Lord, and if you're doing it for the Lord only. I'm not saying that you'll never get commended. And you know, we all like to have a little pat on the back, don't we now? Come on, say amen right there. Sure we do. But we ought to be looking for the Lord's pat on the back. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? Let's focus on the good work. Good work. Man, let's worship the Lord. Let's honor Him. Let's remember Him. Let's praise Him. Let's do what we can for Him. And it may not be much in the eyes of people, but He always recognizes the good work. That's all that matters. Father, we love You tonight. And I thank you for the patience and the